B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
But this does can help a little bit when it just comes to, all right, you watch the film and get right back into another team. You don't have those layovers where you have to think so much about it.
The only reason I ask is because that'll be brought up this year with or this week with other people. They'll bring it up as, well, it's a short week, so it could be a tough game. But you, someone who has been through it on a much tougher schedule back when you could actually hit people during the year, not just having padded practice sporadically, but for someone who's been through it, when you've played on a Monday night and then had to play it Sunday at 1, how much really of a short week is it?
Oh, it hurts.
You know, it really sticks with you that much.
Yeah, because back when I played, we used to could get Toradol. You know, so Toradol was a nice little anti-inflammatory, beautiful drug. I mean, you know, it's awesome. But it would just take all your pain away. But, you know, it would you would feel it like, let's see. So if we play it on a Sunday, you would start aching probably Monday night, Tuesdays. So when you play on a Monday night, now that pain is delayed a little bit on Wednesday to meet your practice, and you're right back into it. So it just kind of was, you know, just made those practices a little harder, but, you know, it is what it is.
I'm just asking for a convincing win.
That's all. Convincing win. Let's go get it.
Injury-wise, you're most likely going to be without Lane Johnson.
Yeah, Lane's not going to be there.
The lane is paved right now for Big V to be starting at right tackle. Mm-hmm. This way you still have Jason Peters at left tackle, Andre Dillon if he needs to come into the game as well. And what I hope, and I'm judging this off of last year, it was unfortunate, but you had a get-right game against the Giants last year. The only problem is you weren't able to build any momentum as a whole team after that game. You lost to the Panthers because your defense gave up 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and you lost that game. But Carson played back-to-back games. He played against the Giants, and he played against the Panthers last year, and played very well in both those games. They just weren't able to come away with victories in those games because the defense basically choked down the stretch. And that's where everyone was leaving the stadium, talking about firing Jim Schwartz. That was the first that conversation really started up after the Super Bowl victory and all that. So, great. Good to say it. Whatever. But right now, you need to see some consistency from your offense, and you're hoping that this game against the Skins is the game where you start to see that get established. 610-632-0975, and you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster, dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. So here was the hot take from Doug Peterson yesterday at his press conference. If any one of us says this, I think it's a hot take, because I don't think this is the best game Carson Wentz has ever played.
Not even close.
Doug Peterson, yesterday's press conference, was asked to evaluate his quarterback's performance against the Giants on Monday night, and here's how Doug addressed it.
There's been games like that where he's had big games, but this one where to be down the way we were and to lose another receiver, to lose your right tackle, to really step up and make the plays in those conditions too, really, to me, I feel like that's his best he's played.
Yeah, you talk about best he's played. He's definitely played better than what we saw. And he was great. Don't get me wrong. People talk about what he did in the fourth quarter in overtime, and the numbers were great. But on those 3 scoring drives in the fourth quarter, he was unbelievable. He had 17 passes. He threw 2 incompletions. 17 passes, 2 incompletions. He was 15 of 17 for 3 touchdowns and, I believe, 148 yards on those 3 touchdown drives. That's pretty impressive from your quarterback. And that's when you needed him most, because this was a game that you could not lose, and they took care of business. Now, that you, as we've been saying, you hope they continue it in D.C. But if you think about some of the other games he's played, he's definitely played better games. I mentioned earlier the 2017 game, or excuse me, the 2018 game against Carolina. Go back to that Thursday night game against Carolina during the 2017 season. He played great in that game. You go back to the 2017 Monday night game against Washington, Bob. You mentioned that game earlier.
Yeah.
I mentioned last year against the Giants. And in the game that he got injured, he played so well against the LA Rams. In the game that he tore the 2 ligaments in his knee, he threw 4 touchdown passes before leaving that game early.
Yeah.
We've seen him play better. I think this was the most meaningful win, though, that he's had in his career. I'd get qualified under meaningful. Most meaningful. The only one that I think contends with it is the game against the Panthers on the Thursday night game when they went on to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that game kind of set the season for me.
Yeah.
I know people will say, oh, what got him over the top was the 60, or not over the top, but what started it all was the 63-yard field goal against the Giants to make them 2-1.
Right.
But that Thursday night game, that was a tough game. And I remember coming out of that saying, man, this team's got a little something. Of course, they were in the middle of what became a long roll. But yeah, that one, That one was telltale. I don't know if I can call this his best win, really.
I mean, it might be. I mean, considering when has he saved the season before?
I mean, the Giants suck.
I know.
But that comes into the equation.
That's the other thing that goes into it. But also, look, they weren't playing well as a team in the first half. They made some adjustments later in the third quarter and in the fourth quarter, and then obviously rolled those into overtime. And a lot of those adjustments had to do with Carson Wentz just trusting his receivers and also Doug Peterson calling for the hurry up. And he was a far better quarterback when they were running that hurry up offense.
How about that?
Like, go figure, right?
Weird.
We've seen him do that before. You saw
him
do it in 2017.
Outside the pocket and hurry up. Mm.
You saw him do that in 2017 as well.
Who's ever mentioned that they should do that more before?
I think every man here.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of fans, yeah.
And Sam. Like, us and Sam. Yeah. Like, that's who's been saying it. But when you watch him play in this game, I think when it comes to meaningful wins, this was probably his most meaningful one.
Wow. Wow. That's all I can say. Like, I hear you. I can't get past that the Giants are horrible.
Well, you do
it. I know what you mean by meaningful. I'm not being stupid there. I know what you mean by meaningful.
Yeah. That's why I can't call it his best performance, also because it's against a team that was allowing quarterbacks to have a 101 passer rating against him.
Yeah. And you're being selfish asking for a big win on Sunday. What the hell makes you think that this team can win big on anybody?
Not much. Not much, Bob. Got to be honest. Being honest with you. But I'm asking for it. I want them to have a convincing win. Don't make me nervous in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm asking for. Is that too much?
No. Yeah, it is.
This is I guess.
They're not
Trey,
that good.
Is it too much to ask for at least a convincing win against DC?
No, not at all. I mean, this is one of those games that, again, where you should go out there and just enforce your will. Now, just looking up some quick numbers, though, I mean, it's going to be a challenge.
What do you mean it's going to be a challenge?
This defensive front here?
Yeah.
40 sacks right now they have.
Yeah?
Yeah, which puts them six.
What's Ryan Kerrigan up to?
Don't know. He doesn't have 40 sacks.
Mm.
I'm just saying. I mean, that's sixth right now. I mean, I'm just telling you. It's not going to be a cakewalk.
Thank you for the... I'm not looking for it to be 21-0 at halftime. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying when we go in that, when the fourth quarter hits, just let me look up at that score and let me just at least see maybe a 10-point lead. Can you be up by 10 by mm-hmm. the fourth quarter?
I'm good with
you
that.
Don't have to score after that. Just don't make me... And don't let them score, obviously. But just, you know, don't let it come down to the final series. Don't let it be an overtime game where we have to watch another quarter of that. Please. That's all we're asking. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Let's jump up to Seth's got something on Peterson here. What's going on, Seth?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
This was not Carson's best performance. I have to disagree with Doug. I think he was just saying that for the media just to get him, you know, off his back a little bit. But this is by far not his best performance. I do agree with you, though. It is his most meaningful performance thus far.
Yeah.
I think this Sunday will be just as meaningful and probably will trump it. And we probably won't, you know, see it as meaningful as this game coming up on Sunday. I was most impressed back in 2017 against the Broncos when they were supposedly, you know, this amazing defense and we picked them apart. You know?
I just looked that. So weird you say that, Seth. I just looked that game up and the stats for that game to see if he threw all four touchdowns in the first half. Which he did not. He threw three of his four in the first half.
Which is okay, you know.
Well, yeah.
He's played well, but it's not. I don't think this was his best. I don't think it was his best.
No.
Under the circumstances, I think he showed some grit, which I like to see from Carson. That's why I really want him to get a actual chance to play a playoff game. You know what it would do for his confidence. What it would do for his mental state, which I think is more injured than anything else at this point. But yeah, just get a playoff game in, Carson. If you can do that, man, you'll be okay.
Yeah,
you'll be okay this year.
Yeah, I want that playoff experience for him. I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah. And with the DD trade, just to switch gears real quick, it makes it really hard to get Mr. Rodgers over there. I mean, that's who I'm looking for. But we'll see what happens with this trade, man.
Mr. Rodgers?
Yeah, Chris, yeah, from the Cubs.
Bryant? Chris Bryant?
Bryant, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah,
that's okay. No, I hear what you're saying, man. Thanks for the call. I mean, it makes me want him even more now.
So apparently part of the holdup with the Chris Bryant thing is the arbitration still trying to be figured out here, and there's supposed to be a decision by the end of the week. So trade suitors are kind of waiting for that to come down to see.
All right, so where's Bryce Harper pulling an NBA move here? Where's he just reaching out to his buddy and be like, dude, just tell him to get it done?
Yeah, I mean, they did play travel baseball together, I think, like the majority of their lives.
Mr. Harper threw to Chris Bryant in BP. They were on the same team one time,
yeah,
I think.
Get it done. I've seen one or two people out there say, like, I don't know about Chris Bryant. He's washed up. I'm like, nah, I don't think so. He's 27.
We're washed up.
Yeah. And he's had a little decline over the past year and a half, a little injury, but he's 27 years old and would be phenomenal at Citizens Bank Park.
We talk about dominoes falling with Didi Gregorius taking over at shortstop, Segura most likely moving at second base, and then Kingery to third. Those dominoes. If Bryant comes here and it's a long-term deal, Boehm is going to be your first baseman eventually, right?
I would think.
Or one of those is trade bait, right?
Yeah.
Hoskins.
I mean, if you're getting a Bryant, you're likely going to have to depart with Boehm. Or Spencer Howard. I wouldn't do both, but I would certainly
Or Spencer Howard?
You'd have to give up something to get Chris Bryant.
Oh, trade-wise, yeah, absolutely.
You're likely going to have to depart with one of those two.
Right, okay.
I don't know which I'd rather keep more. I'd probably rather keep Spencer Howard more.
I absolutely would like to keep him
so,
more.
So, if Boehm gets me Chris Bryant, bye.
It is weird looking at that lineup, and the only guy you question is the guy that we know the best. And that's Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah. Let's hope, Gabe going to San Fran maybe frees up his mind and he can just get back to hitting baseball.
Forget about launch angle. Make contact.
Just hit the ball, son.
Good wood. Jeff in West Hampton. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, good morning, y'all. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I haven't heard y'all talk about it. The next week, the Eagles will have a real chance to win the division outright against the Cowboys.
Yeah, we've talked about the possibility of the Eagles resting their starters in Week 17.
It's crazy. Now, I am a Cowboys fan, I'll let you know, but I have no faith. They're going to lose to the Rams. So y'all are going to be up a game going into that game.
The public is pounding Los Angeles in this game, which tells me Dallas might pull it out.
If they've got a winning record. That's all I need to know. And I want Garrett gone so bad. I mean, I would have loved nothing more than it's going to be so exciting. But anyway.
You guys are going to probably, if it's most likely that Ron Rivera goes to the Giants, but I think the number two option is that he goes to Dallas.
I just think it's funny that all this season, the way that went, you're going to have the chance to lock it up with a week to go.
Man, the NFC East is terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. And real quick, y'all just got me. What are the chances of this team getting Rendon? I mean, if they could get Rendon, wouldn't that be just like the cherry on top?
Look, they're $6 million short of the luxury tax right now, Jeff, and thanks for the call. I'd love to see it. But again, that's another long-term deal that would happen at third base. Your number one prospect, and look, he's got to be here first before you're even thinking about him, I guess. But I'm starting to think down the line. And if you're also trying to add another starting pitcher, you got to think about making trades elsewhere, because I don't know if it's going to be just Spencer Howard coming up trying to help you out at a low cost, obviously, with being a young player. But I want to see it happen. We all want to see it happen. I just didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't think Garrett Cole was going to happen. And seeing the money there, $324 million.
9 years.
Over 9 years.
Yeah.
We thought, 6 years. Easy on the 6 years. And it's like, we're going to go nine.
Yeah, I'm one that I don't really care about billionaires' money and how they spend it. But that's one I probably would have just avoided.
Right, but if you're the Yankees,
you can do that.
Bottomless pit.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you win one, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Right, but when you look at the Phillies and they're going to put somebody at third base that's going to cost, what, 220? He turned down 220. So what, 250, 275?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, the Yankees kind of had to do it because they've been in search for pitchers for a long time now.
Yeah.
The Phillies just have too many holes to get associated with another $330 million contract. Look,
what you have to have this year for the Phillies, if they're done right now, and
I don't think they will be.
Think there's another move coming.
I think they're going to get a trade going.
Bigger move than Didi Gregorius? Bigger impact player than Didi Gregorius?
I mean, if you get Chris Bryant, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. But do you think it actually happens?
I'd give it like a 15 to 20% chance, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I feel like something else is coming, too.
Something's coming.
I really
Whether it's Chris Bryant or not, Ryu, maybe.
I think it's somewhere between cool to big.
Yeah.
I was going to say it's semi-big.
Nice.
Yeah, I think I knew I would get that reaction, which is why.
Way to try to backtrack.
I think Middleton's putting his money where his mouth is.
Look, I told you I was a skeptic from the get-go on any of the big deals, and Strasburg I didn't think was going to get as much money as he did.
I wouldn't have given him that deal. That's insane to me. He's had, like, what, two healthy seasons and nine?
Right. It's ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
But I think they've been smart about it. Look, we all know with Zach Wheeler coming here, it seemed like a smart move. They obviously got him a little bit cheaper, especially now after the Strasburg deals
happened. If he gets to where they think, that's a bargain.
It just seems like it's a much better deal than what would have happened a couple of weeks if they didn't do it.
Right.
But looking at some of these other guys, if they don't make another big impactful move, like even take a step forward with another move, then they're going to, if they even have any shot at contending, you're going to have to rely on a guy like Spencer Howard to come up and have an impact in a rotation. I mean, that's where you're going to have to get, and also a bounce back year from Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. It's not just the fact that the Nationals are that good and the Braves are that good. It's that they're young. They have young guys getting it done for them.
Yeah.
And if the Nationals, which I don't think is happening at this point, we all know that, they're not going to keep Rendon. He's searching. We know that he's out there. Other teams are courting him. The Phillies are having their name in that ring, certainly. But it's that this division is going to be really good for a long time. This is the opposite of the NFC East. All these teams, you got two other teams that are very good, very competitive, winning a World Series, one of them, making the playoffs, another. And you're just here kind of as the Phillies going, all right, let's play catch up.
Yeah, all the more reason why I think they have another move coming, because you signed Gregorius for 1 year.
Mm.
Why? Why just a 1 year, $14 million? Because A, you want to get the best out of him. B, you think you can be a contender this year. That's why you're getting him. C, you want to sell him long term. I guess my assumption is they wanted him to stay here. I don't think you just say, oh, yeah, come here for a year. We'll let you play as best you can and then work towards that big contract somewhere else. I assume they want him to be their everyday shortstop of the future.
Well, he's going to be 30 when the season starts, which isn't old and certainly not young.
Yeah, so I don't know. It just reeks to me, the one-year deal, that they're going to do something more so that it looks appealing to him, and that's the reason they got him.
Okay. I'm hoping that's the case.
Yeah,
I'm hoping it.
Because otherwise, it's just a waste of $14 million. Oh, yeah, you come here so you can get a contract somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be that. I don't want to be a landing spot for that.
Yeah, but he's also, I mean, he is an upgrade.
Yeah. The
bottom line is he is an upgrade.
Oh, no question.
And he won't have to rely on Segura doing too much either, just because he'll have a little second base to manage for himself.
I don't mind him at second base.
I really like him at second, but I still think they're going to try and trade him.
But you got to get approval from him. And when you have a full no trade clause, it's like, give me the list. And he gives you one team.
Yeah.
He's like, thanks.
It certainly makes it tough. Yeah.
610-632-0975. Mitchie in East Windsor's got something on the Phils. What's up, Mitchie?
Merry Christmas. Happy Festivus to everybody.
Back at you, brother.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, first, what about Philly's looking for Madison Bumgarner? I hear with Brian, he would make more sense. But what about going after Rendon? I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, that's what we're talking about.
Okay, I'm a little late for the party. I have found out to believe that Cole is going to make more money than Bryce Harper. I would rather have Bryce Harper than Cole, so I think you got the better play. But that's ridiculous. A guy that plays once every five games, guaranteed contract. I think there's no way they're going to re-sign Judge, and they're probably going to be trying Stanton. Do you think the Phillies will look into that avenue too?
It's possible, Mitch. Thanks for the call, man. But I don't know. I see a team like the Yankees having those deep pockets no matter what. I think they do re-sign. I know there's been some reports out there that might not do it, but I see them keeping Judge in New York. I mean, Stanton's another guy obviously making big money, but that just seems like a bottomless pit when it comes to their finances. And it seems like every single year they're right there.
Must be nice.
It must be. Why can't there be revenue sharing in Major League Baseball?
Because that would make parity, Mark. For some reason, people don't like parity.
And who wants that? David in Baltimore. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good, man.
Hey, all right, listen. I want to talk about the game for Monday night, and I'm on record as saying that I believe the Eagles made a mistake by getting rid of Nick Foles and keeping Carson Wentz. And
you have said that,
I'm here to tell you, that game on Monday night convinced me I was dead wrong. I will do a complete 360, and it was just one play I needed to see from him. And I was completely sold after that. And it was
really?
And you know what? And I'll be honest. I really thought you guys were making a lot of excuses for him this year. But after watching the game on Monday night, the players around him are so bad. There are players that I play flag football with that I think are better than the sum of the players on this team. I'm being like dead serious. Like, that's how bad the team is. And I'll be honest. I really thought you guys were making a lot of excuses for him. But I watched the game in its entirety on Monday night. And it was very, very brutal to watch. And I was wrong. The team around him is so bad. For him to not give up and continue to actually want to fight to win that game. And there was just one play I needed to see. It was that play on fourth and one or fourth and one and a half at the end of the game. Where, to be honest, the season's on the line there. And I don't want to say his career's on the line. That's a little bit much. But you know what would have happened if they would have lost that game.
Sure.
And Carson showed me that he's got dog in him. I wanted to see that. I've been waiting to see that all of his career. And I'm here as a Nick Foles believer, I was wrong. He's the guy. I was sold on Monday night. I just need to see that one game from him. And here on out, whatever happens, the team around him is so bad. For him to actually push through and win that game, I'll just say I was wrong.
Look at you, David.
Wow.
We've been talking on the radio for a long time, my friend. I am so proud of you for this recognition of reality, my friend.
Listen, you know what? When you're wrong, you're wrong. And you know what? That game Monday night, look, there was... The guy had every reason to give up, okay? He was literally down to, like, one receiver at the end of the game. He had nobody to throw the ball to. He's got no help on the offense. I mean, I was wrong. Listen, the guy had nothing to work with. They've given him nothing. And for him to actually have the fortitude to want to go out and still win that game showed me a lot about him. And I don't care if it was against the Giants. They were so depleted. You know, no Lane Johnson. It's just on and on. I'll just say it. Flat out, the guy played, bowled out, and he's the guy. And I was wrong about him.
David, thanks for the call, brother.
Yeah.
Take it easy, man. The thing I just can't get over is that when you watch these receivers throughout the year, it just came down to a lot of want. Mm-hmm. Like, how bad do you want to make that play? And I have never seen receivers that did not want to make that play. You literally had a wide receiver... And I wish we like made $100 for every time we reference this, but it really is wild. Matt Collins, you had a wide receiver talk about how he'd rather play special teams. Go get him, Carson.
Yeah.
Like, go, enjoy yourself. You had a wide receiver like DeSean Jackson obviously get injured, but guys that were actually out there on the football field, a guy like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside just dropped the ball at the goal line, and he was never trusted really for about 10 more weeks. Then you watch a guy like Nelson Agholor, incapable of going up to catch a football, incapable of tracking a football, even getting in the end zone and dropping passes. Like, I have pointed out Carson Wentz's faults. Like, for instance, against the Vikings, Jamie and I, you went back and forth about whether or not that ball was overthrown in the end zone. I thought it was overthrown in the end zone. Like, he has made mistakes. He has not been perfect this year.
Mm-hmm.
But just talking about the wide receivers he's throwing to, look what he did with guys like Josh Perkins, Greg Ward, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in this game, and then his tight ends. Look what he did with guys who just wanted to make a play for him. They won the game.
Yeah.
And that's all you need.
That 1-2 is all you need.
Yeah, you need players that want to go out and make a play. Yeah, of course you can say, all right, yeah, we want to go get some more talented players. But if those more talented players don't have that want in them, what good is it?
Wasted talent.
Exactly.
As some might say. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, we got Ben in Drexel Hill. He has a Phillies dream for us. And we'll also let you hear from Joel Embiid one more time. We'll give you the highlight of the game for JoJo. And what he said after the game that rubbed us all the wrong way. Time of the Fanatic is 9:23.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Oh, look at this. Andrew Salchunas walking around.
Yeah, he's back.
Back from his wedding, the honeymoon, the whole thing. He'll be on with Anthony today.
Gave us the injury report.
Hey, he's married.
Physical wedding.
That's awesome.
So them Lithuanians, they know how to party.
Yeah, they do.
Speaking from experience.
Trey, you ever break a bone in playing football?
No, never. No.
Not a nose, nothing?
No.
Foot?
No.
Mm.
No, nothing.
Terrible. You know, people, when you get married, people are like, oh, is it any different? And usually people are like, nah. And it is different.
It's after different.
You get married. All those people come together for you and your missus.
Mm-hmm.
You got a wife now. You're a man. You're a man of the house.
Yes.
It's very different.
It's very different.
I thought it was different.
Yeah, it's different.
Everyone says it's not different. I think they're wrong. That's all I'm saying. It's all I'm saying is all. And especially if somebody's hurt. Ben in Drexel Hill. What's up, Ben?
Good morning, everybody. How are we?
Good, hey, man.
Now, I know we all love to go down the dream lane, the scenario that'll never happen.
Mm.
So let's play this one out.
Sure.
We don't care how we spend billionaires' monies as fans, correct?
Yup.
So why don't we sign Rendon? He plays third base. We trade either Segura and Bohm to get Chris Bryant and let Chris Bryant play left field. Now make a lineup out of that and tell me what team is going to stop that lineup.
It's not our money, right? Just to clarify that one more time.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to sign Rendon.
Yep.
We're not worried about what he costs.
I'm in.
We're going to trade Segura and Alec Bohm to Chicago. We'll get Chris Bryant, put him in left field, let Kingery play second. Boom. World Series.
I'm all for it.
That lineup would be insane.
I'm all for it. Make it happen.
I don't even know if it's a possibility, but it's nice to dream on a snowy morning.
It's not completely that unrealistic.
Yeah, no, if you're saying luxury tax, schmugsury tax, then fine. You're making it happen. I'm not, hey, Ben, it is nice to have a walk down dream lane. I like it. Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate you. All right, you have a good one. Enjoy that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, now, I promised this earlier here, and here it is. So there was a highlight for Joel Embiid last night, and I think a lot of people have been down on him recently despite some decent numbers, some good numbers. And Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, maybe even us, we were a little down on him. But last night, there's a little sparkle in his game, a little sparkle on his face, as a matter of fact, and a big smile. And it was after this play took place in the third quarter in the closing seconds. Take a listen to this.
It's inbounded. It goes to Tobias, who in turn goes to Joe. He's got a seal. He flips it up backwards and in. Joel Embiid with his back to the basket, and he was fouled. And he preens for the crowd, rising with both hands and basically saying to the Philadelphia fans, let me hear you.
Yeah. Turns around, smiles, little shoulder shake, raises his arms, little shimmy for everybody. And it was like, yeah, there you go. When was the last time we saw you smile, Joel Embiid?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last time we saw that on the court. That was against Karl Anthony Towns in the fight night at the Wells Fargo Center. We want to see a little bit more of that inspiration. But after the game, he said something about having fun while playing that actually rub me the wrong way. Take a listen. You tell me what jumps out to you. Take a listen to this. JoJo postgame.
I have not been having fun like usually, like I said, just mainly because I'm still trying to figure it out, to make it work and all that stuff. And it goes back to with me being mature. And one of the biggest part of my game is just having fun, and by having fun is talking trash, and but that part that's kind of being cut. I just need to be myself, and I guess just do whatever I want, because when I'm having fun, I dominate.
That part is kind of being cut. That's the part that makes him go.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid is a showman. Do we all agree with that?
Yeah.
You can't tell a showman not to put on a show. Let the showman put on the show. That's what JoJo does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how anyone or why anyone would tell him, hey, don't have as much fun playing the game. So is that a self-imposed ban on fun? Or is someone pulling him aside, you think, and saying, hey, you need to relax? Because that doesn't seem like the right way to handle it either.
I think it's a combination.
Really? How do you mean?
So I really do think that this is my take. I think that when the whole Karl Anthony Towns thing happened and we saw JoJo went on social media and probably got himself an extra game of suspension for doing all the things he did,
mm-hmm.
I think Elton Brand called him aside and said, hey, big man, no, stop that. You can't do that. Stop with the social media stuff. Stop it. And I think Joel took it as, I have to grow up And maybe the word grow up was in there, whatever. I think Joel took it as like a little kid getting yelled at and said, oh, okay, I can't do anything anymore. Oh, I can't have fun. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't post on social media.
My parents hate me.
Yeah, I think the bottom lip went out a little bit. And I do. I think something like that may have happened, that there was a misinterpretation. Or Anna's not liking the way he acts on the quiz. Is that her name, Anna DePaul?
Anna DePaul.
Yes, she was back in the house last night.
Yeah, maybe she said, Joe, you look like an idiot when you're out there acting like that. Just play the game. And maybe he's doing that.
She was at the game last night.
In the house.
Right, but I just don't want people to think he threw her out of the house. They're back together.
The basketball courthouse.
Yes, of course. She was at the Wells Fargo Center. Who was she sitting with?
Joe's father.
Oh, Mr. Embiid.
Embiid. Colonel Embiid, correct?
Colonel Embiid, yes. That's right.
I believe he is a colonel.
So everything's cool right there.
That's one word where the spelling of it never transferred.
Yeah, whoever came up with that, just shut up. if you're still kicking, you're an idiot.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of L's in there for colonel.
Yeah.
No R's.
Yeah, exactly. Did you know it's just a term of respect in the South?
Really?
Yeah.
It's not an actual designation.
Well, I mean, it is a designation, like militarily
speaking. But like
speaking,
instead of, hey, what's up, bud? It's, hey, what's up, colonel?
Well, when Colonel Sanders, I don't believe is an actual colonel. He's just like
makes fine fried chicken.
A respected old man in the South.
You know what? I got to say, I really enjoy their advertising campaign with the rotating colonels.
They're doing a great job.
Do you? Yeah, I do.
I think it's annoying.
I think you're annoying.
So I love Joel Embiid. I wanted to have fun. Anyway. But yeah, no.
I really do believe that might have happened. Because if you think about it, he's been totally different since that fight, right?
Yes.
I think maybe he got pulled aside and was like, look, dude, you can't do this. And maybe he just misinterpreted. Now, after what he said last night, I wouldn't be surprised if he and Elton haven't already met. After what he said last night and ironed this out, like, nobody didn't tell you to have fun.
For the record, I agree with you. I think that makes the most sense. I think that it would make the most sense for the organization that after, as we all have agreed, for him to get that extra game suspension, I believe that was because he talked more trash about the fight on social media and also throwing the punches in the arena itself afterwards to be like Rocky or whatever it might have been. Not the best idea either. So I think that's where Chief Beef himself, Elton Brand, pulled him aside and was like, hey, don't you do that. And then Joel Embiid was like, this house is a prison. And he was just decided to pout like that.
Let me be me.
Exactly.
Not allowed to smile anymore.
On Planet Bull, you know what? You know what I'm saying?
So the lip was hanging, so now he picked up his lip and now he's ready to play.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
I hope so.
Pick your lip up. Let's go.
But here's the only thing that makes me think the opposite. It's that he went into the season with the idea of, I'm not going to talk as much trash.
Yeah.
When he did Derek Lowe podcast? Mm-hmm. Zach Lowe podcast.
Derek Lowe was a pitcher. Sinker ball, right?
Yeah, sinker ball pitcher, yeah. When he did that podcast, he was like, I'm not going to talk trash anymore. You know, like that kind of thing. And I was
I'm trying to be dumb there.
But that's not fun. That's not how you play.
Yeah, you're a star because of who you are.
And here's the other thing. After that, he got into the fight at the start of the season. And you saw all the trash talk and all that online. So you knew that it wasn't going to be that new version of Joel Embiid, which then ultimately, again, Bob makes me agree with you, that you have Chief Beef coming out there saying, hey, why don't you calm it down a little bit? All right, let's take it easy. And instead of taking that as constructive criticism, Joel Embiid pouted a little bit, and that lip came popping out.
That's yeah. Right.
And he said he's trying to find a balance. And when you're trying to stop what made you tick before, you know, it's kind of difficult trying to figure that out. So, as long as he gets back to playing the way he needs, just go dominate the game, man, and don't get into all the social media stuff. Take care of your business on the court, because that's where it is.
And have fun with it. If it's a case where you feel yourself like going after a guy that you're going to trash talk to, put your hands in the air and say, nope, not going to do that today. Like, just have fun with it. Go out and have fun playing basketball, because that is totally, and I'm talking to you, Joel Embiid, that is totally when you're at your best, when you're out there having fun playing the game.
I do want to remind people, you can talk some sports with Jaws tonight, ladies and gentlemen, this Wednesday night, tonight, December 11th, 6 o'clock. Special guest, Freddie Barnett, live broadcast here with 97.5 The Fanatic, with Jaws at Valley Brook Country Club, so don't miss that. We'll have giveaways, food and drink specials as well at Valley Brook Country Club. Go out and see Jaws, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Ron Jaworski. 610 6320 1-800-919-3975 if you want to get in on the final segment. We'll also go over what our guys like Charles Barkley had to say after last night's Sixers game. It wasn't too kind when it came to Joel Embiid himself. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 9:40.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
How about TU putting up a hundo in basketball?
All right, P. St. Joe's.
Dude.
Yeah, that was a crush. St. Joe's is obviously struggling with the rebuild.
When I saw the money line was something like $720 to win 100, I was like, oh, damn. Okay, good luck to you.
Yeah.
Real quick, a lot of people have been talking about the Joel Embiid thing from last night. Not as much with him as it was with Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal. Here's the quote on TNT. And people were tweeting me this stuff after the... I was watching it, and I just kind of had... My jaw was hanging because I was surprised. Charles Barkley has been so positive about the Sixers in the past, picked them to go to the finals and all that stuff, was coming down. Like, I don't even want to say it was coming down, but giving a lot of real talk about the Sixers. Not that Charles ever is, you know, sugarcoating anything, but nonetheless, he came out after the game and he said, Joel Embiid is the toughest player in the league to match up with, but we don't talk about him in the way that we talk about Luka Doncic, the way that we talked about Giannis Antetokounmpo, Anthony Davis, and James Harden. We don't ever say that stuff about Joel Embiid. And he's right. We never really say that. Then he also goes on and says, it's frustrating to me because I picked the Sixers to get to the finals. They ain't got no chance now. They don't have a chance of going to the finals because you're seeing Joel Embiid struggle a little bit in the early goings of the season. And by the way, struggle, he's still at least a very good player when he's struggling. It's just not seeing him get to the elite level, and that's where Shaq comes in. And Shaq says, yeah, you might be impressed with the stat line, but we want to see elite greatness on a night-in, night-out basis, like we see from Luka Doncic, like we see from Giannis Antetokounmpo, Anthony Davis, and James Harden. And that's what we've been saying.
Yeah, we can't say we'd be hypocrites to say we disagree with them.
They're right.
But to go to the next extreme and say, I'm out.
They got no chance.
They have no chance.
Damn, Chuck.
Yeah, 25 games. I don't know if I could go there yet. And, you know, I'm not real patient, but I'm patient on that. 25 games isn't enough. They haven't had Richardson for, what, 5 or 6 games?
Yeah.
And Bede's missed 3. You know, I don't know that you can do that yet.
That's one thing I did leave out. I'm glad you mentioned that name. Josh Richardson coming back last night. How did he look to you?
Rusty. Hit a big three towards the end, which was nice. But
missed a wide open layup in the first quarter that cost me the first quarter line. Thanks, Josh.
Oh, jeez. But you know what? The good thing about a Josh Richardson, a Matisse Thybulle, they can struggle offensively and still have an impact on the game.
Yes.
And you haven't had that in Philadelphia in a long time. So I think, you know, we talk about how the guys get back in the game. If it's a quarterback, get some little throws, some short throws in there, and then, you know, work your way up. With scores, it's get some layups, and then maybe your shot comes. With these guys, I think, go out there and play defense, and everything else will come around. And, you know, team can prosper from that.
20 points for Tobias Harris. He gets to that threshold again. Struggling out early on from Al Horford, but he came on late in that game to help the Sixers win, which was good hitting. Another big three late in the game. Ben Simmons only 7 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists. But you're right, Josh Richardson was a guy that was struggling, especially earlier in that game. But like you said, also hit a big three late. The star of the show, Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah.
That was the guy that got the people's toes tapping on social media.
He's spectacular for a rookie.
For a rookie. Like, it's not just that he comes in and he gives you that great defensive effort. But he's starting to hit those threes with more consistency. Mm-hmm. He's been flashing into the basket all year long. And the other thing with him that I love about his game, for a rookie, he never plays over his head.
No.
He doesn't try to do too much. He's a heady player, man. That's what I love seeing.
I think when guys play really good defense, that's that lends to it. Defense isn't like pressure on you. Defense is something you want to do, and if you do it well, it gives you that confidence. More so than if your shot isn't there, if you know you're a scorer and you come in and you're struggling, your defense rarely struggles, and I think that helps along a rookie if he's that good at it.
Sam, we didn't do a Twitter poll today, but if we did, who would have brought us that fine Twitter poll?
Window Nation, take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Thank you very much. And Sam, what is your takeaway of the day?
Sixers still undefeated at home. Woo!
13-0 now. Get excited. Jamie Lynch, takeaway.
My takeaway of the day is it's good to know that Joel Embiid's love is still flourishing. It's not the reason. I think Bob is accurate in his reason for the poutiness this year. I'm just happy that his love is alive off the court.
And in the Paula at the Wells Fargo Center.
I love love. I love love, Mark.
It goes against conflicting reports. That's all I'm saying.
It was only a theory.
We were texting last night. I liked your line. Yeah, she's there to make out with Matisse.
My cousin at work yesterday was like, yeah, somebody at work was saying that they heard on 97.5 The Fanatic that Embiid got dumped. And I was like, no, that's not what I said.
Bob Cooney.
My takeaway of the day is, Mark, I'm with you. My tune has changed. I think the Eagles win handily on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness, Robert.
I'm drunk.
What else is now? All right, Trey.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
Trey Thomas, your takeaway of the day.
This past game was Wes's best game.
You're riding that one. You're going with that.
I'm just riding with the coach.
You're right.
Forever, that's my teammate, man.
Forever a loyal, yeah, right. I was going to say, teammate. Yeah, forever a loyal teammate. My takeaway of the day is people get all sorts of bent out of shape when a national person, whether it be Charles Barkley, who played here, or Shaquille O'Neal, people get all sorts of bent out of shape when it comes to ripping JoJo. But you saw JoJo smile last night. That lets me know that MVP form is right behind him. Stay tuned.
I'm the most unstoppable player in the league.
Stay tuned for Anthony Gargano, the Anthony Gargano Show, here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.